What's up, everybody? Welcome to Echoes of New Eden. I am your host, Rambo. So what is happening this week in New Eden? I'll hit up the little bit of game news that we had. And I had a nice sit-down chat with the executor of SHH, Nihilist. And we did talk about the FF4, amongst other game news. So let's get it. So not really that much in the official game news. Nothing new for announcements, patch notes. I'm sure will probably be coming out here in the next day or so from this recording. So there's that. They had some official media posts. Looks like they're talking about the freighter raids, some login rewards, and they did have a ban notice of about 712 accounts being banned, and looks like anomaly behavior is still up there as the number one reason for getting banned. So no player support news or other announcements on the official Eve Echoes Discord. So on to the freighter raids. I don't really have the kill mill in front of me, but I want to say it was a Honk Cyclone command that got the kill on Captain Benzie. So Benzie was found about 9 minutes after he started the event. Unfortunately, about 2 minutes after it started, his stream crashed. So the audience did not get to witness the ship go boom. He tried multiple things like restarting his router, whatever else. He was not able to get that back. So he was bummed. A lot of the audience was bummed out in that sense. I actually had to work. I was not able to watch that stream. However, Damon Zell's freighter raid was a bit more successful. So with his, I did actually get to watch. So it took about 20 minutes for him to get found. A member by the name of Kenny Daenerys got the final blow on Damon's freighter. So congrats to him. He is part of Children of Space Corp, and they are in the Boop Alliance. So just in case you're not on my Discord, I have a pretty good lineup coming up. I have Cairo making a comeback along with the Harrowing and Shay. Sandman will be a guest, and also the much anticipated Gulag Gang. So stay tuned for those shows coming up in the next couple weeks. So once again, no roundtable talk this week. New work schedule has me all messed up. But anywho, let's get to the interview I had with Nihilist.
Hey everyone, this is Nihilist, Executor of Silent Federation, and welcome to Echoes of New Eden.
Welcome, Nihilist. Welcome to Echoes of New Eden. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Rambo. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I've actually been wanting to have you on the show for a while now. I know a lot of things are happening in New Eden, and you're a busy guy, you know, so it's like, I don't want to bother you too much, but, you know, eventually I thought I'd ask, and it's my pleasure to have you on the show, so thank you for coming along. For those that don't know you, if you can please give an intro of yourself, and yeah, we'll continue.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yes, yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know me, I go by Nihilist in game. I am the CEO of Pandemic and a couple of other corps in the Federation, and I'm the executor of Silent Federation. I've played in Echoes since the beginning, started as a line pilot, and currently am the executor of the Fed for the last 4 months or so, and which time we've done a heck of a lot of good stuff, and I'm very, very excited about the future of our group.
Yeah, that's excellent. You've been in Pandemic. I was looking at it earlier. I think you had something about 14 days in another corp, and then since then you've been in Pandemic.
Yes, I started as a brand new player, and basically started applying to corps after I got through the first little part of learning the game, you know, as everyone does. Just kind of checked out the different groups, found that I was really interested in NullSec, really interested in PvP, really interested in just the whole mechanic of working to carve your own space out. And so started looking for corps, found a great recruitment thread, and went ahead and applied, and it was a great fit for me.
Awesome. And yeah, you've been with Pandemic ever since. So how did you end up getting to become the executor of SHH? That's a huge role.
It really is a huge role.
Not everybody gets that chance. Yeah.
No. You know, when I first started the game, I had my eyes on having an upper level leadership. I didn't really understand all the nuances of EVE Online because I didn't get a chance to play. But I had a friend who I've known for almost 30 years who played EVE Online, and he said, "This is the game for you." So when I got a chance to start off in a game from scratch, from you know, literally from an early day on situation to build in the sandbox environment the future of what I wanted to bring, it was super attractive. Once I got into Pand, I really tried to get engaged heavily with the players of the corp, you know, active ratting, active mining, active PvP. The first two kind of phased away, started stepping into more leadership level roles. I ran as our media officer, where I worked with things like newsletters and other pieces of media such as that. Got active in the executive team because I have some real life transferable skills to that, and then kind of went forward from there. In December, we got very aggressive as a federation, and True Beast, our previous executor, stepped up as the executor of the Fed, and Pand led the way. We kind of came in as the executor corp and built the Fed from kind of a fledgling alliance, the Silent Alliance, with a couple of allies, and built it up to the powerhouse that it is today. So once True Beast had an opportunity in his real life to pull back to work on his executive master's of business, he needed someone to kind of step in and run the show. And up to that point, I had shown that I had some unique talents when it came to this role, and was asked and answered to take this job on.
That's great,
it,
man.
It was something, yeah. And yeah, it's been an exciting road overall. You know, I did want to have a corporation when I first started playing the game. I think a lot of players do. And, you know, I saw how great Pand was with our different types of corporation benefits. You know, we've got a fantastic app that we use to control everything from our buyback to our ship sales. We had a great culture, you know, very, very low negativity overall. We try to maintain a sense of decency when it comes to working with people, but a high level of, I guess, for lack of better words, salt generation. That's kind of how the North is powered, is just to get out there, do a good job, and then make our opponents a little bit annoyed at such a good job. So it was just a really fantastic fit, a heck of a lot of fun. Leadership of a group this size, though, is a whole different animal.
Yeah, my condolences for that.
Right.
It's like the next level of the game. It's like you could be a line member and play the game that way, or when you're getting into the leadership roles and so on and so forth, it opens up all these other doors, and then all of a sudden you're always busy. You know, you don't have the freedoms to do certain things in the game as others would. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah, this is true. And you know, Discord is most of the game for a player. For a leader at this level, and I know this is true for so many CEOs and alliance leaders as well, but we live and die on Discord. A lot of Discord PvP happens. I can get anywhere from, you know, like today was a pretty light day of about 45 different messages into my Discord inbox, different people, all the way up to hundreds, depending on what's going on in New Eden. And they can be everything from, someone shot my ship and I want war for, you know, like a 12 million ISK ship, to extremely important things from a full meta perspective. So, you know, it's important that I stay on top of those things daily. If I take a day off, it can be a little challenging because people start to wonder where I am. So I try to make sure that everyone knows where I'm at. I spend as much time in game as I can. I'm an active PvP pilot. I FC as often as I can. I really appreciate the membership and the participation in Silent Fed. And I think that a good leader leads from the front, gets out there, flies, wins opportunities, and loses ships every now and again. And of course, you know, encourages everyone to get out there and do the same, because that's what this game's all about, is playing together and having a good time.
Exactly. Yeah, if we can't have a good time, then why even bother?
That's exactly right, Rambo.
So I want to segue into the big subject of the last week. Everybody's talking about it. The FF war is finally over. The longest standing war in the game is finally over. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about, granted, this started right around the beginning of the game, did it not? Maybe inform us a bit of a history of it.
Yeah, you know, this was an extremely early war, you're right. So Silent Alliance as a group came and settled in Declan, essentially. And we ended up dropping the very first capsular outpost in the game. It was so early that the devs actually did not have the capsular outpost destruction graphic in yet and had to rush to get that done. We dropped that in an RG9 in Declan, and it was named Comet Bro. This was a big deal, you know, back in the T6 days when people were still flying basically cruisers primarily, and the efforts that were put forward to get something up that today is fairly easy to do, it was substantial. It was a big deal. Well, FF had initially settled in Tino and in Branch and had their presence up in there. There was a few other corporations, former VVV Alliance as well, just kind of spread throughout the region. And of course, you know, when you have an encroaching group coming in and carving their space out in Null, you would get the inevitable combat. So conflicts continued to go, and resulted in basically an active red state from the earliest days of the game in September. And this continued. You know, there were some lulls, there were some ups and downs, but we never removed a red status. We started off by cleaning house down in Fade and breaking the Southern Declan groups first, combined with many other very powerful allies in the north. And we were able to clear VVV out. Triple V was not part of FF, but, you know, they were part of the controlling blocks in the north. We pushed them out of the space. We at that point, we were really building our federation. We had added in Care Bears with guns. We had added in quite a few different groups into that mix. BNI had come on board. And we were able to aggressively kind of push these guys out. We continued to always fight FF, though, at this whole time, never stopping. We had PI thieves constantly coming in, harassing our PI guys, and minor harassment going on, gate camps. But the biggest challenge when you're a U.S.-based alliance, which at the time, Silent Alliance was very much U.S.-based, is fighting a +8 time zone group. And, you know, if you do want to do any kind of significant op against them, you're looking at doing this. You know, for me, I'm a -7 UTC player. So I'm alarm clocking at 3 a.m. to get up for these things. When I first joined Panned, my first real experience to PvP was learning about doctrines and getting into the Silent Alliance doctrine, which at the time was Stabber Fleet Issues. And Mobile Guardians. So we really, you know, it was very apparent to me the doctrine made a lot of sense. I learned about this thing called SRP, which the Silent Alliance does, a very good SRP program, and got into my ship. And then my very first time I flew under RFC, Michael JD, and we ran, this is during the days of the 10-man fleets, we ran these fleets through Branch, you know, trying to go and assault FF groups. But, you know, during the early days of the game, structure warfare wasn't the content generator that it is today, where people basically group up with structures and there's real big fights. You know, these fights were a little bit more disjointed, a little bit more I guess, you know, fleet on fleet. But with RG9 there, you know, we had an opportunity to really bring structure to us. So we had a very large conflict, one of the largest in the North initially, was centered around the RG9 player-owned station. And I believe at the time, there were well over 500 groups, people that got brought in together, including VVV, FF. And this was mostly instigated by our current friends and allies, Honk, who lived in our systems as well. If you guys don't know who Honk is, I highly encourage you guys to find out. This is a phenomenal group of pilots that are very, very persistent. And it is a huge thing to have them against you. I will tell you that even just one or two Honk can absolutely disrupt the heck out of you. But this entire instigation happened with combination of CEOs from FF, FFA, which was the American Fireflies group, and a lot of coordination around. And ultimately, a fleet was taken against RG9, and it was eventually destroyed. Comet Bro fell, and this was a very big moment for Citadel and Eve Echoes dropped. And this was a big deal to lose, a player-owned station dropped by FF. So, you know, it was a fight we knew we couldn't win, so we bled a whole lot of ISK. I think we took out nearly 300 ships. I was reading through the after action report that I had worked on back then, almost 300 ships, you know, and relatively a small amount of ISK by today's standards, but by then was a huge amount of ISK in today's standards, where the ISK war really was the only thing people talked about when it came to combat. So that was really the big one for our instigation with the FF. And it kind of continued from there. Really, the scaling didn't happen until SOV drops, though. We got aggressive again back after we broke OBS, and the OBS corporations mostly came on board to Silent. We reformed. We got aggressive about destroying their 7 SOV in Branch, and pushed them back out of Branch, and essentially had a nice little period of a couple of months where we were not actively CTAing against Fireflies. The game got a little quiet at that point up here in the North, and True Beast had continued to build our Federation's partnerships with different groups. Things were starting to get a little shifted around down south with GHA and the other groups that have been kind of destroyed or moved on or reshuffled. But up in the north, it was mostly quiet. We had, you know, settled Southern Declan pretty well, and Northern Declan and Branch were still contentious, but it was more a little bit ship on ship and just kind of harassment at that point. So then we lay to my taking on, near the time where I took on as executor, FF decided to come in and get really aggressive again. They started dropping SOV and re-pushing into this kind of SOV ownership and Branch and for expansion, and took another, our first loss for a corporation, Citadel, out about the same time that True Beast was stepping back as exec. It was painted as he was leaving in disgrace for loss. It really actually was just poor timing from him. He actually didn't step back because he lost the structure. Structures come and structures go. That's just the nature of Echoes. But I stepped in as exec, and we continued to just kind of fight them back. FF fought back. They regrouped, they got new allies in, and the war really started to ramp up at that point. SOV was being dropped on both sides, left and right. We were really filling up the north very aggressively. Two peace talks attempted to happen, neither of which resulted in any kind of a change as far as our statuses go. And we just kept on pushing forward. A lot of people in the south really didn't quite understand the nature of the war in the north, because it is a lot different. The efforts to take out FF were certainly there, but it wasn't the 1,000-man, 1,200-man, you know, blob fights that we see down south. This is a lot more controlled as far as the player numbers go, until we really started to push in the last month or so. So when we basically saw this thing happening, we really just tried to regroup our military. We were very fortunate that Michael JD, who had taken a break from the game, decided to come back and went back to Silent, and between he and I, we basically rebuilt this entire military effort from the ground up. We got everyone excited and motivated, implemented a new doctrine, which, as you can see, it's been deployed just about everywhere across New Eden at this point. And then we pushed FF back, proceeding win after win after win. And now here we are. We've cleared the last two sob structures owned by FF this weekend in Tino, and we own the space. There's no doubt who the dominant forces are in Branch, Tino, Declan, Fade, and Pureblind.
Right. Yeah. And you've been granted members from FF, you know, people that wanted to, because understandably, a lot of FF was Chinese, and there was talks about a majority of FF going to the Chinese Iveco server, which some did, but others decided to stay. And those people that you did, that did decide to stay, you actually got some of those corps. And actually, they're not all Chinese. I believe you did get a Japanese corp in there as well. So,
yes. And, you know, that's the kill mail for an executor, right, is the corporations. If you can get it, the efforts we did to push our now blues and our now our corporation members from FF, you know, we tried very hard to talk to these folks about coming on board to Silent. We always had really good fights with them, and we stayed friendly and local overall, just good banter, sharing kill mails back and forth. But, you know, we have an international group in Silent Federation. We have people from every time zone across the world. We have people that speak the majority of the different languages, although everyone primarily speaks English in Discord. But we have a very large Russian presence, a very substantial French presence, you know, and European presence overall is pretty strong. We've got a great Asia Pacific presence. And we had an opportunity to bring in a Chinese group prior, you know, to kind of set the way with Cash. This was it was kind of an add-in that worked down out in Pureblind. And these guys have been phenomenal. You know, these pilots have been great. They've been highly engaged. We peeled a few early alliances off of FF. You know, we picked up AM early on. They were just not interested in staying up in the FF space anymore. And as the war progressed, we certainly peeled quite a few groups out of FF. We ended up picking up some of our more notorious pilots that were really those residents that lived in our space with the add of a great group OCN, very aggressive PvP pilots. And but yeah, it just continued to grow. I believe we picked up no less than six corps and three alliances from the FF split. Some also went over to No Please Stop, and of course, at least two corporations, probably three, went over to GenFed. I don't know if any bled over to Pantheon, but yeah, you know, we were certainly not interested in having the pilots leave. There was a lot of talk about the Chinese server and people leaving, and what we found, and we have a great intel network in all languages as well, was that in fact FF as a group did deploy to the Chinese server. However, they also played 100% on the standard Echo server as well. So we didn't actually lose pilots, FF pilots, to the Chinese server en masse. We actually got some back. You know, it kind of revitalized people coming back into the game. And where we really did get a hit on this, though, was the aggressive move to keep kids off of the games during the work week. So that was kind of a hit, but it didn't affect numbers. In fact, one of the closing numbers of the fight that we had when we fought off a combined force of FF and No Please Stop, we had well over 1,000 people on grid, and it was the biggest fleet that I had seen personally out of FF ever. And I've seen them field between 400 and 600 on a regular basis in ops. So the numbers did not diminish in FF during the war due to the Chinese server. But I think the morale it did, especially after fighting for a year with Silent.
Right. And what was the system that was in? It's escaping my mind right now. That
the 3F TAC. Yeah,
3F TAC. Yes, where SHH was basically they punched their way in at the gate because the system was capped.
Yes, it was a really interesting fight. The opposition force, the combined FF and No Please Stop force, This is 4:30 in the morning, my time, by the way, on this. They had 800 and roughly in the system, and we were held at the gate. You know, the system capped at 1,000, so you know it was like a queue. So we literally burned in with 200 pilots. And as we started popping pods, we were letting one more in. And it just kind of eventually we finally flew in and overwhelmed. You know, there's always challenges with this large scale combat in Echoes. The servers are a lot better than they were in the early days, but they're by no means perfect in this large scale. But during that fight, we did hit 3 times tie-dye, which was the first time that we'd seen that in the North. It was definitely the biggest fight in the North that had been here. And we absolutely massacred that group. You know, both sides had black screens, both sides had disconnects, but we did a phenomenal job, and we absolutely decimated that fight. And that was really, I'd say, the apex of our momentum, and everything just kind of flew from there.
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing some of the chatter from members saying that was the biggest fight that they've ever been in. Like, they were bloodthirsty, like they wanted more huge fights like that. And you know, I me coming from GHA, I've already been in a handful of fights that were like that, and of course they had their problems then too, you know, way back.
Oh yes. Yeah, I spent you know, Silent deployed south to help out with Genesis Federation fights several times, bringing entities, and of course more recently we went down and helped close out some of the OG and Void War fights that were down there with our entities. So at least several of us, 7 or 8 of us, were veterans from the North to these really large scale tie-dye battles. And you know, I'm a big believer in like, I love 100 versus 100. I think that's probably my sweet spot for fights. But also 20, you know, and 50 man fights are really, really good too. I think blob is fun if you can run a tactical blob, but for me, it's not the optimal, you know, way to fight in this game. But you know, in the end, as long as you have great FCs and pilots that are dedicated and willing, and your devices hold up and the server holds up, it sure is a great time, no doubt.
Yeah, and especially to have the stamina to do that. I mean, you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning, and that fight wasn't short. That was still a 4-hour fight.
It really was. Yeah. That fight I alarm clocked 3:30, and it was only a 17 jump fight. But yeah, you know, we actually started to engage 4:30 to 6 my time, somewhere in there. But you know, you always have your pre-fight enjoyment that you get, you know, where you start to engage earlier before you get to the timer. But yeah, it certainly is a stamina thing. And of course, if the timers are set right, it affects, you know, how many people can show up. It could be a work day. It could be a holiday. You know, you never know when these things are going to kick off. And you can be as strategic about it as you want to try to control the timers, but it is super, super difficult to ensure that you're going to get max participation. So really, that's part of the job of an executor of these big groups. At least I think of it as my job, is to kind of, you know, bring the morale up, get people on grid, get people checked in, get people playing, and have the best time as possible. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. But you can't win these really big blob fights without either one of two things: a really, really big team, or really happy and motivated pilots. And, you know, either way, if you don't have one or both of those things, you're not going to win these fights. It's just the way it is. There's just, especially right now in the current climate of Echoes, the main forces do bring the big blob, right? We're not talking about skirmishes. We're not talking about 20 to 50 man, 100 man fights. Those are at this point considered roams, but the big blocks in the game bring huge blobs. And really it is about being able to outgun the blob. And it's not necessarily just a numbers thing either, right? Tactics, skills play a huge role. You know, Silent Federation interceptor roams are things of legend. There's things that we've done with our NTs that no one else has done. When we deployed our Vexor doctrines, the entire game pivoted to a Vexor doctrine, which I thought was just hilarious. Watching these guys go from no drones to drones, and you know, so when it works, people see it, people use it, and for us, it's a huge a huge success to be able to fly a disciplined doctrine with good pilots that know how to fly them, that are properly skilled to show up to these big CTAs. And now with the war wrapped up, we're certainly looking forward to continuing on with some really great combat and keeping these PvP pilots happy, because that is what the Silent Federation is all about. We are a PvP focused federation, pure and simple.
Right. So you're talking about doctrines way back. And how about, did you have an SFI doctrine, like Stabber doctrine?
Yes, actually, we wrote the Stabber doctrine in early days. It was, you know, basically a, looking to do 30 to 50 km combats in an SFI inside of a MOA, essentially a bubble, you know, a guardian bubble. And yeah, so we ran that in Tech 6 days.
I wonder if you're at this battle. I don't remember if you were. I know True Beast was there, but 8 Tech SPNN 8 Spin.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Were you at that battle when you attacked the ORC outpost?
Yes, absolutely. We were there.
Okay. So I met you then. Wow.
Yeah. 8 Spin was a great fight. That was really one of those great game changing fights. A lot of fun.
And I don't even know if I was doing the podcast at that time, but that was my first CTA when my corp had joined GHA, and we basically fought the SHH fleet with what's considered kitchen sink. We basically right. threw everything we had at it. Like I lost a couple can U's. I think I lost like 2 can U's and some frigates that I had, because I was just throwing every ship that I had out.
Well, and that's the way it goes sometimes, right? I mean, this is one of the things that we preach about our doctrine, and really it's not that hard for us to adopt. We look at scalability, affordability, ability for the pilots and the skill set. You know, all these things are considered very much, and then of course effectiveness, because it really allows your FCs to be a lot more strategic about just what's on field, what the capabilities are, and things of that nature. It allows for a much more organized and coordinated fight. Makes target calling reasonable. So yeah, doctrine is huge to be able to actually be successful in these larger fights in particular. It really is anyone who's not running a doctrine is needs to consider looking at one. And if you're not sure what that is, I'm sure there's no shortage of experts in the game to help out with right. that.
Yeah. And just the tactics in general, and that Stabber fleet that came in to 8-Spin was, you know, they were anchored on each other. They had primary targets and they were, you know, just sniping people off, and they're hitting the structure at the same time and stuff like that. It was my first experience getting into a battle like that. But I remember the praise on the GHA side, like, hey, these guys are freaking good. They are an actual threat. Like, they know what the hell that they're doing. They're in this, that, you know, every single one of them was in a Stabber. You know, they all had the same ship composition. They were powerful because of it, you know. And at the same time, we're also kind of happy and cheering because GHA won that battle, but that was because of numbers, probably.
It's a long haul, I mean, in a cruiser. Oh, yeah. Man, it takes a while to get from here to there.
Yeah, it was something like 70 jumps, I want to say.
Yeah, over 70 jumps.
So that's crazy.
That was another early morning op for us, definitely.
So with the FF War, I mean, you guys were trading blows for a while. And a big thing was Branch and owning Branch. Like, who owned Branch? You could say SHH owned it for a while. And then if you look at the star charts, you know how it has the Alliance kind of next to the name. You know, FF owned Branch for a while. You know, they you can claim that they owned Tenall and Vinall, but it was like majority of this war took place in Branch, didn't it?
It did. So Branch, as it was basically, you know, for lack of a better word, from the U.S. Expansion days, Manifest Destiny for Silent. We needed the room to expand. So, you know, most of the Silent Corps, the Silent Alliance Corps, basically live in mid and an upper Declan. So when we moved in, you know, you have to have room to expand. If you don't expand, you basically will lose players, because there are needs for growth. With the mechanics, the way that NetEase put in, you know, you have corporations that can drop 5 SOV, points, and of course systems, you know, with 30 alliances and or 30 corporations in an alliance, that's 150 SOV points, you know, so one alliance literally can fill a system with SOV should they choose to do so. Well, as a federation, you know, we had, I think at the time, you know, 13 alliances. So scale that up and get an idea on how crowded space can be. And this is where conflict starts to happen. When we moved in, we knew we had to scale into Branch. And at first, when we first worked on this, you know, we were happy with Branch, but then we tried to offer peace terms to settle with FF. And at the time, they really pulled some shenanigans with No. And actually, No brought on FF as a blue partner, which was very surprising to everyone in our Fed. So the efforts were, you know what, we're just going to close this out. We're going to reset FF completely, and we're going to settle Branch and Tenal. We did the numbers on as far as SOV requirements and growth requirements, and we knew we needed both systems. But yes, FF owned Branch, and we pushed them out. This had to happen in order for the Fed to be successful. And we did offer a lot of opportunities for them to come on board. And in the end, a good portion did, and they've been pretty happy with the sense. A lot of the boogeyman is out of the closet at this point with FF Corps, because the propaganda, of course, is huge anytime you fight anyone. But they've realized the Silent is not the kind of group that would ever not want to have these guys come in. In fact, one of our great new allies, Saku, which is a Japanese alliance, they've been loving playing with us, absolutely loving it. They go to every fleet, they get into comms, we chat a whole bunch, and we just have a great time. And same with OCN and several of the other FF Corps that have come in. These guys are having a fantastic time, and they've been a fantastic addition to the Federation too. Super disciplined, happy, and they're really getting along very well.
Nice. Well, it's good to hear. Another big topic that has happened recently is this neutral status that you, I don't know what the right word for it would be, took on against New Eden. So I guess you used to be blue with GenFed and you were red to Void and that alliance over there. And from what I understand is you wiped that completely, so everybody's neutral now?
Yeah, so after we concluded with FF, we did a lot of discussion, myself and a couple of the other leaders. And for me, the biggest purpose to having a blue status with anyone is just to make sure that the objective is done. The risk of a blue donut, if you guys are unfamiliar with the term blue donut, it's basically where everyone around you is blue and you can't actually find any PvP other than little tiny little pockets. But the risk of a blue donut causing more damage to NullSec is far higher than anything else I've seen in this game at this point. I mean, even now with FF, I have pilots that are like, there's no one to shoot. You know, thankfully, some of our Southern members have or pilots from the other federations and the other alliances have came up to pay us a visit, which brings content to our doorsteps, which is always fantastic. But the biggest reason that we did the reset in the South was because there was no point in having blue alliances down there anymore. We are not at war with anyone anymore in the South. We've wrapped up our war in the North. And so what's the point in holding a blue status, right? There's literally no gains to be had on any side. You know, there was a couple of other issues that kind of drew this up to, you know, to the top of the list as far as when this was going to happen, especially regarding some of the exits of the FF Corps. But overall, the choice to remove blue with Jen was basically because, you know, we're not going to be going 60-something jumps to go into Jen space when they're not at war. They did a nip with the former ACR group, so SCG. They, you know, they're not fighting anyone at this point actively. So other than the no, please stop, as far as I understand. So they don't need us. And we're certainly not fighting anyone they're fighting, so we don't need them. So at that point, you know, we do a reset. It's really simple. That's this way we don't have to worry about our pilots being nervous about coming into Branch or Declan, their pilots coming to Branch or Declan to do their thing, and our pilots going on a happy little roam. or they may go pay them a visit, that kind of a thing. Plus, of course, there's always the honk factor. So this makes it a lot easier politically to deal with for me, and I like that very much. But, you know, our partnerships with Jen during the time that we were Blue with Jen were great. We did our part to help them where they needed help, and they did their part to help them, to help us when they could get up here. And we appreciate that. But as far as OG and Void, you know, that we took on because when I first took over as exec, I wanted to give Blueing Pantheon a try. Just to see how that was, because we were already kind of running almost a blue status at that point. But the difference was you stay out of Fountain and Delve, and we'll stay out of Branch and Fade and Pureblind. And so, you know, we had this weird gray situation going on, you know, when I was basically had stepped into the executor role that didn't make a lot of sense to me, because if you're going to stay out of the territories and not engage in PvP, that's just dumb. Why not just go blue at that point? You know, so when we did, we looked at the Diplo list and saw that there were still active wars going on in the south with OG, Void, ACR, which at the time, you know, there was this content coalition group. So we went ahead and set red standings to all those groups, you know, basically kind of spurred off, with the exception of really some really negative OG comments to one of our line members, which, you know, is kind of water under the bridge at this point. It was all purely a show of support for our new blues to red those groups. And with no more new blues, we had no more need for reds. So a reset in the south. Now, of course, we have no in the north, and we haven't forgotten, and we never will forget about the burning of the Veil of the Silent. So no is currently in a red standing, but it's one of those situations that you know, we haven't been hitting their structures aggressively. They haven't been in our space at all since FF. And they pulled out of the FF. Once Winter Solstice left as FF exec, no stopped doing any kind of combat space in the north, outside of their areas over there in Vale and Geminate. So, you know, they basically are sticking to themselves, and we have done our best to stick to ourselves. We don't go escalate into structure fights right now with any group on in New Eden at this point. So this includes No, but we've had a red status with No since they were still just a Merc group many, many months ago. And, you know, who knows if that'll ever change. But I do know that, you know, as far as our northern groups go, we do count No and the groups that live over in Vale as part of the north. So we're watching the climate as things start to change with deployments from the south to the north, because, you know, it's not that far to get from there to us. So we're certainly watching this very, very carefully, and we'll make a choice when it needs to happen, because, for instance, No is not a very big force at this point compared with us, and we know that it's not something that we're as concerned about. No combined with FF was exceptionally scary, though. And so we were glad to remove one of those groups from the equation as far as northern adversaries go. But yeah, that's kind of the summary of why we reset the south. It didn't really make a lot of sense to keep him at the current state.
Right. And then my question to that is, was that mutual?
What do you mean?
Did GenFed agree to the neutral status, or did you propose that and then they say, you know what, we have the same feelings, we agree, let's do this? Is it mutual in that way or no?
I don't go ask other leaders before I make a Diplo decision. No, we didn't talk to Jen. We did an announcement at simultaneous time. We did a group with our local, we did a group with Reddit, we did a group with the in-game Diplo settings. This by no means was meant to be an aggression to Jen or anything like that, but, you know, it just wasn't something that I felt needed to happen at the time. We had some tensions related to XM Corp and some issues that were going on. XM is a former FF Corp that basically blew Jen. It was pretty apparent by some of the actions in Branch that we saw that it was an attempt to blue tank. Basically, they were trying to keep us from bashing their structures because we were closing the war out. So they went to everyone they could, and Jen took him in without talking to me at all about this. It just had happened. It was agreed. So, yeah, you know, of course, neutral standings are something that's really easy. You just simply remove them from your relationship list on the Diplo screen.
Yeah. Well, I'm no Diplo, so I don't know how all that goes down. Yeah, but
yeah, you know, but I mean, again, Mama is a great leader. You know, Banana is a great leader. They work really hard for their groups. There's no doubt it's a hard thing to do because I do it every single day. But a neutral standing is just a neutral standing at this point. You know, we wanted to secure the North. There was no way we were going to trust XM to follow through. We certainly didn't want Southern groups up here trying to enforce that behavior. There's no interest in having anyone from the South come to the North to live here. This is not something that we're going to accept and make sure that the stability of the North is the most important thing to me as a Federation leader, and having other groups come up here that are not under our direct control or that we don't have maintained through military means is not something that the Fed will ever take care of in any kind of passive way.
Right. So you said earlier you thrive on salt generation. Have you been on Reddit recently?
I don't go to Reddit as often as you might think, Rambo, because it's just a ridiculous place. I'll post there every now and again, though. But no, I haven't. Is there some good stuff out there?
I've been seeing a lot of stuff, primarily between like the Pantheon Realms coming to Deck and the SHH Realms going to Delve and Fountain and so on. And, you know, people say, we did this, we did X amount of damage, and then when they come up, they only attack miners and, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of salt going on Reddit as far as these roams go, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, like the salt I like to generate, Reddit salt's too easy, right? Those guys are just that's low hanging fruit because you can get there, you can control the narrative. The purest salt, though, the purest salt in the region's in game chat. And that's what I really love. You know, when it's a single pilot going and taking another pilot and then they get all super, super, super mad about it. That live dynamic, pure emotion. That's so much better than a ridiculous Reddit brag. But just to give you a count real quick, I'm pulling up our kill board. We have a kill bot that was programmed by one of our members. It's a fantastic little app that he wrote that works inside of our Discord that will unique count screenshots of kill mails. So I'm just going to do a quick stats just to get an idea. But now keep in mind, we're not actively at war with anyone right now. And so these numbers are basically going to be just roams. So I'm just letting the bot come up. And in the last, let's go bot. All right, here we go. In the last 24 hours, we've taken out 78 billion. 7 days, we took out 612 billion. In the last 30 days, we're 2.25 trillion. And since we've had the bot in place in March, it's we're getting closing on 9 trillion in kill mails alone right now. So yeah, I imagine there's some people a little annoyed. I know that we've got groups that are actively roaming right now in both sides. You know, we had a group last night that went to the VFK area that's been living there, Pantheon deployed. I don't know, there's a fleet with a couple of FCs there that are living out of the NPC station in VFK. That's down there near Care Bears territory and in Southern Declan Silent territory. They've been coming up today. You know, we saw, in fact, I got tackled by Jay Worthing today when I was moving my Megathron. He came after it with his Atron too and webbed me down and shot at me a bit before he ran away. But yeah, they're active in our space. I don't know, you know, usually when the salt comes down into Discord from Silent, from Roams, I know that there's something bad and our members haven't been whining at all. So if there's been stuff going on in Reddit about minor Roams or whatever, I certainly hope it's not Silent that's whining because it's not happening in Discord.
No, they're not. No, they're not whining about miners. Definitely not. The whole neutral status thing opened up a lot of just roams. So now you can roam GenFed space and GenFed is roaming SHH space and Panth is up in SHH space as well. And so there's plenty of content still happening, even though the war is over.
Well, and that's the whole point, right? So why would you, this is like, goes back to my philosophy of why keep a blue when you don't need the blue, right? It makes no sense. All it does is annoy pilots who actually play this war game for war, right? We're not a bunch of Care Bears in the North. Now, of course, we have a bunch of people that do enjoy ratting and mining as their primary occupation, but Silent Federation is strong because we're a PvP sov oriented group. That's it. You know, we thrive on being able to get out there, get into a ship, go find something to shoot it, and then put a kill mail up. That's kind of what we do. You know, structure bashing is a lot of fun for a lot of people, you know, getting out there. But and that's been probably the hardest thing I've had to deal with is keeping the pilots from going and bashing structures, because they know that generates content very quickly. It gets fleets on scene. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, having these other groups, seeing U.S. time zone people in our systems. Our pilots, though, overall, I mean, I haven't heard a lot of salt or whining coming from the internal side about the roams from any of the factions coming up north. In fact, you know, the single multi-boxing FF trainer group that came in and tortured us for like 5 months straight created way more salt than the entirety of all the roams so far from the newts. So there you go.
Wow. Hey, and I was going to add to earlier, for one reason, I think that the war had dragged on for as long as it did was because FF had their Citadel timer, their whole timer set for that maintenance time. Now they just implemented an update to where, you know, the timer's paused now. Wouldn't that have fast forwarded the war a bit since you were basically locked?
I mean, I don't know. Timer warfare is tough, right? We never really messed with our timers up until recently when it came to that maintenance window. I know we brought over StarCats from Pantheon. That was kind of a big bone of contention, is that they had their timer set to the maintenance window when it shifted over to the U.S. time zone. But we had seen this with all the PASAs and everything like forever. You know, No Please Stop, as an example, the Kofor group. We actually had a day when we were working actively against Snow where we had over 30 player-owned stations in Hull, and every single one of those player-owned stations were set to the timer window. We parked bombers outside of every single one of those things spread out throughout all of the systems to pound them, to try to get them down, and we did our best. And of course, you know, I put tickets in on this months ago to try to get NetEase to fix it. They never did, and then it took... apparently Pantheon's lobbying group and Winder group was super, super aggressive about this. But I also messaged Joseph after we were told that we were cheesing the timers with the two StarCat Citadels that we left down there in the south after they came up here, that I told Banana just to blow up because we have no interest in keeping it, of course. But StarCats are, you know, they've got their own relationship with that group over there and decided to stick it to them by setting timers the way they did. But, you know, we went that day and messaged Joseph as a group, I believe Banana, myself, and Mamasaurus Rex, and said, hey, you need to fix this. We're done with it. It's dumb. Get a window where people can't set these timers around the maintenance window so that we can actually take these structures out, because they basically get a reset. You know, what was interesting is this was not equivalently applied. So, you know, I heard about the StarCast timer situation directly from Banana about this when they brought in and they actually took one of the structures out. We were actually at a defense for another structure that was happening. And we noticed personally that the timer was, in fact, paused during maintenance window, at least on our structures that we were engaged with. So I don't know why they weren't able to pound that structure out, whether it was a glitch or a timer problem or whatever the case is, but I'm certainly glad NetEase is doing something to make that much more transparent and clear to avoid any more nonsense with timer tanking during the maintenance window.
Yeah, definitely dragged things out and made things difficult.
Yeah, it was annoying, no doubt about it. It makes it a lot harder to kind of close out of a SOV war if you can't actually kill the SOV, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the future of the game, what do you think is going to happen here in the future? I mean, I know Capitals are right around the corner. It's scary how fast time is flying.
Yeah. You know, EVE time is super extremely fast, right? A week in actual real life time in EVE feels like it's like a month. You know, I have pilots saying, I've been living in this space for years. It's like, buddy, the game is barely a year old. Are you kidding me? So, you know, but for the future of the game, I know that Silent is got a plan for Capitals, of course, just like I think every other big group is doing. You know, we're super excited about it. We are going to be in enjoying that combat very, very much. We have a lot of EO veterans that are both in our FC ranks, in our leadership, and of course as line pilots that are excited about both you know, carriers and dreads. We're excited about Sinos and jump bridges. We're super, super pumped about this because our space is pretty big. It's spread out, so being able to move around quickly is a very powerful thing for our fleet overall. So we're really excited about the coming changes to the game. We it just seems like T10 was just the other day, right? I mean, doctrines for T10 ships are barely rolling out for a lot of groups. So, you know, now we're going to be bringing in caps, which is a massive resource expectation coming up. So, you know, I do think that it's going to be an exciting time for Indy. I think miners are going to be really, really, really critical moving forward. And PI and everything else generation is going to be really, really critical. So, you know, if you have a good Indy core and you got a good buyback and you got everything in place to be a successful group, caps will be a no problem kind of situation. And it's going to be really neat combat, I hope. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it'll be different. It'll be unique. And it's certainly new for me because I've never experienced any of that. I've only played EO for considerably like a couple weeks. I don't play it every day. but I have no idea how capitals even work on that game. I just know that they're freaking huge and they take tons of materials to build and they're stupid expensive.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, you know, but you know what's interesting is I remember, you know, as we kind of went in the Wayback Machine talking about Tech 6 fights with SFIs and everything, you know, your SFIs are running like 60 mil. And at the time for a T6, T7 pilot, that was a lot.
That was.
Right. Now we have guys that, you know, run around in faction everything. And so running a 30 bill build isn't that big of a deal anymore. If we could just get the Plex market to do what the Plex market, you know, if we see what Plex is going to do, ISK is one of those things at this point that is nice and deflated. So, you know, getting the materials is really the big thing, making sure that you have enough to actually build these things up, or else you're just going to Plex it or buy it up with your stockpiles of ISK and your war chest. So, but yeah, it's definitely going to be something to watch, and loss of a capital will be a pretty big deal, right? I mean, that's not going to be something that's going to be small. But as things continue to scale up and time continues to go on, I believe it'll become just like, you know, people don't cry too much when they lose their material now. But when they first came out, losing something like a Rattlesnake or a material was something extremely big because it was such a big build to get those things done. Right.
Yeah. They were past, you know, 10 bill, hitting 15 bill. Nightmares were even more, 16 plus bill.
Right. Now they're as cheap as a Cineball was back right? then.
Yeah. I did a T9 scout earlier and the estimated value was 29 mil. You believe that?
Wow, that's terrible.
But remember when we were T5, T6, that was a lot of ISK.
Yeah,
I was care bearing over a Venture 3 that got shot down. You know, and yeah, nowadays that scout is a joke.
Yeah, so for all you high sec and low sec pilots, you know, this is null sec rich, guys. I know you guys are struggling because I know the struggle is real, especially when you're an alpha account or something. You know, if you really want to get rich, it really does take a null life, guys, no doubt about it. Because it's not a big deal to lose a V3, right, Rambo?
Yeah. I've lost quite a few back in the GHA days, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So We're getting close to an hour. That was basically all that I had. If you had any other topics you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, you know, I'm really appreciative of all of the pilots of New Eden overall. You guys make this game the best game for us, and I'm very, very interested to see what's going to happen with the future. We hope that you enjoy the content overall. Silent Federation is a group that is very interested in making sure that people enjoy playing the game and enjoy the PvP side of the game especially. So if you want to pay us a visit, come on up to the north. We're happy to have you here, and we'll welcome you with open arms and open guns.
Yeah, open guns. Yeah, so, you know, I appreciate all the Alliance leaders. I've gotten to talk to Mama a couple times. I've talked to you, True Beast, some of the leaders over in Void. I haven't had the pleasure to talk to Banana yet, but I really just appreciate everything that you guys do and the time that you dedicate toward this game, you know, whether it be fixing issues or playing the game. The amount of time that it takes to do your job in this game is insane, you know, so everybody, I think, really just needs to be appreciative of it because your time is valuable. You know, you got a life outside of this game too. So, you know, but you got a big heart. You know, Mama Rex, she's got a big heart as well. So she cares for their members. You care for your members. And I look at that and I appreciate that greatly.
Every leader in this game, from Tahini to Banana, Mama, me, everyone who runs these groups, Winter with FF, there's one continuous thing. We are all here for the experience and we're all here for our membership. It is a ton of time, Rambo. Make no mistake. You know, someone asked me today during our fireside how much time I spend playing this game or working on the Fed. And I basically said, well, there's a number of hours in the day, then there's a number of hours I deal with real life things, and everything else I literally dedicate to Echoes, to the Fed. When I'm driving, you know, when I get to a spot where I'm stopping to go run an errand, the first thing I do, pull my phone out, check Discord, make sure nothing's exploding, or there's nothing I need to deal with right away. This is a nonstop lifestyle. At this point, it's beyond a game. It's more of a hobby or very much a lifestyle. I talk about this stuff in my real life with my my former colleagues at the last job I was in and things like that. So, you know, this is, it extends. It's a really, truly a big community. It's a great community. I look forward to actually when I do get a chance after COVID finally breaks a little bit. I do intend to go to Europe. I do intend to go have beers with several of the leaders that I've talked to across this game. Independent of Diplo statuses in this game, I think we're all people, and the leadership of these big groups and small groups alike do put an extraordinary amount of time, and some of them put a lot of money in this game too, and that can't be forgotten as well. Several groups do have people that are funding it very, very well. And so there is definitely a effort to build a community in Echoes that's unlike any other MMO I've ever played. And for that, I will be eternally grateful. And of course, there's the mental exercises you get from doing Diplo and other discussions in Discord PvP that will really make you think, and for that I'm eternally grateful as well. So thank you, New Eden. You are a fantastic community overall, and if you ever need anything from me, you guys know where to find me.
You know, and your spouse also plays this game, yeah?
Yes, my fiance. Yes, she's our beloved Dictor pilot, and she's she's very active. She plays actually in game a whole heck of a lot. She loves to play. You know, you'll find her in Declan just about every day of the week doing things. And, you know, she shows up to every fleet. She works her butt off. It makes it a lot easier for me to be in this position that I am, because I don't have to deal with that proverbial aggro from a partner about what are you doing? Why are you on Discord again? She just knows what's going on.
Exactly. You know?
So it makes it a whole heck of a lot easier to be able to run a Fed. I think that's probably a prereq, is that your partner is very understanding about this kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I've met a few couples in the game, and it's not unknown news, but yeah, my wife plays this game and she helps me run a corp. You know, she's got her roles, I got my roles and whatnot. And you're talking, you talk to each other about the game, you know, of what's going on, this happened, that happened. You're on the same page. It's to the point where you talk to your friends about it even. It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I tell people that don't even play the game about stuff that's going on. And here's a kind of a funny story, is my mother-in-law, we tell her stuff that like goes on in the game, and then we don't see her very much. We only see her about once a month. When she comes over to stay with us, she's like, hey, so whatever happened to that situation? Like, she asks about it. Like,
that's awesome.
She's never even played the game, not a day, not a minute. So Yeah, it's amazing how it affects your outside real life.
Oh, it really does. Yeah, I worked at a university, and I actually started up one of our college esports program, and I spoke with our esports coach after we opened back up, and told him about my role here and everything like that. And he was pretty interested in hearing about it. Of course, the esports arena isn't the same. They play different games like League of Legends and Smash Brothers and other things like that. But yeah, and of course, I've shared this with many of my colleagues out there in the higher ed community, that as a CEO, you can actually, between the communications needs, word choices, being able to understand how to put everything in the right way, because you have to be very careful about how you tell members. You have to deal with translations, internationals, time zone conversions. Like, there's a lot of real life skills that are mastered or enhanced very much by having a deep involvement in a game like Echoes. If you buy in fully to the international community in particular, you can really scale it up very, very quickly. Like, my time zone conversion is top end, better than I ever thought it would be. I don't
Right.
even have to worry about a calendar anymore. I just know, oh, you're a plus five. That means you live here, and this is when it is over
Exactly.
here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll add another snippet, a real life kind of story here. So my work at work, I have a giant clock above where I work, and I have it in military time. And it's brand new. I just recently switched jobs, so it's new to everybody around me, and I have it in military time. So people come up to me and they say, "Man, every time I look at your clock, I have to do math. I don't want to do math, because just converting the military time into the actual time on the hour." And I was like, "Well, don't feel so bad. At least it's not in UTC." Oh,
Oh, it's
man.
so funny. And this is the thing about living in the US, right? We're very Americanized and centric around our units of measurement, and time is certainly one of those things. When I first started playing this game, I'm like, oh God, why are we using UTC? This is dumb. I think it's the most amazing thing ever now. I love it.
Yeah, I downloaded an app on my phone. It was like a widget to it converted my time zone along with like three others, and then I had UTC in there. So I just lined up the match, the hour. Okay, 1300 is 7 a.m. for me. Okay, cool. So I got used to that, and then eventually I just didn't need to use the app no more. And then now it's kind of just a no-brainer.
Yeah, until daylight savings time hits, and then it's
Oh,
like, oh
jeez.
God.
Right? Yeah.
That's one thing I'm looking forward to moving to Arizona about. No more of that nonsense.
Yeah. What's funny is I thought GMT and UTC were the same, but it's not. GMT never changes. UTC does.
Right.
So, yeah, crazy. Just the things that we learn, in the game and out, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one of my newest friends, he's a Chinese guy who is his name is George. He's a fantastic friend of mine. He first came over from RS8, which was a group that we lost to Citadel on. Anyway, he didn't speak very much English, and when we first started chatting back and forth, I was using colloquialisms and slang, and I used the word salt in one of our chats, and he's like, "What's salt? I don't understand this translation," because of course he was using a translator. So I had to explain to him, this dude is hooked on salt now. Like, he loves it, the term. He uses it all the time. It was one of those moments of my life. I was like, I love that. When you get to actually transfer some culture to other people, that's one of the reasons I love this game so much, is that wonderful interaction with people from around the world. And transferring culture, transferring, our food court is super international in the Silent Fed Discord. We've got pictures of food from around the world, and of course time zones are a thing. I get a good morning when it's 9 o'clock at night my time. It's just one of those things that's just, it's really a very interesting thing, and it really reminds you that we are really in a small world, and thanks to this thing that we call the internet, and great games like Echoes, we are all able to connect, and for that I'm eternally grateful that I'm heavily involved in this community, no doubt about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that is great to hear. Well, I think we'll wrap it up. You got any shout outs you'd like to tell the audience?
Yes, absolutely. I want to shout out to The Real Beck. You are singly the best troll in New Eden. I love you, buddy. I know you work your butt off and people give you slack, but forever you will be my number one asset when it comes to anything super fun. Gulag gang apparently is a thing. Of course, that's if you guys don't know what the gulag is, you might consider yourselves lucky, but it's just a thing. I hope to hear some details about this thing on maybe one of your upcoming podcasts at some point, Rambo.
Yeah, I have them scheduled. Yep.
Yeah, that's exciting. Of course, there's a Space Karen who's working out the Hunger Memes competition, where we get to throw some low sec or null sec memes up, kind of having fun with the community. Definitely check that out, you guys. This is an official EE event, and Space Karen is kind of homegrown out of the gulag. And you know, Silent has got a very great role with the gulag. So you know, overall, those guys are fantastic. Of course, you know, all the Fed leadership, you guys make this possible to do. Without you, this would be an impossible task. And hey, Rambo, thank you so much, because everything you do with the community is really important too.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Nihilus, and man, I appreciate you so much. That it's I don't have words, you know. It was a great pleasure talking with you, and thank you for sitting down and talking with me tonight.
Anytime, my friend. I really appreciate it, Rambo. And if there's ever anything you need from me, and this goes for just about anyone else in the community, don't hesitate to ping Ziggy26 Red in Discord. He will absolutely answer all of your questions.
That I shall try. Alrighty. Well, yeah. I think we'll close it out there. So, Nihilus, take care out there, man. Fly safe.
You too, Rambo. Thank you.
Well, that wraps it up for this week. If you like the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this podcast. I do have a YouTube channel. Like and subscribe that for future videos. And if you would like to sponsor the show, please reach out to me on Discord. Being a sponsor gets your corporation ad out there for listeners of the show who may be looking to join a corp. Also, if you wish, please join my Discord. That is where I do my roundtable talks when I do them. I post all of my episodes there. I have a guest list shown, and you can also post your very own corp ad. I'll leave that link to this Discord in the description. And yes, the shout outs to our other content creators. So if you want even more Eve Echoes news and a deeper dive into what's going on with the galaxy, check out Damon Zell over on YouTube and his show, Echoes from the Front. That's where he goes over game announcements, patch notes, alliance drama, battles, and much more. I also want to give a shout out to Sky News, the premier Russian news outlet. If you haven't checked out their channel, go check it out on YouTube. Yes, it's all spoken in Russian, but they do include English subtitles in their videos. They also have a blog in which the text can be translated to your preferred language. Go check out Let's Play the Game over at Sky News. So thank you everybody for listening. Take care, fly dangerously, and I shall see you next week.